could stand around and talk up here before everyone sat down. You guys love talking. That's fun. Good to see the interaction. Well, if you noticed, a couple of our songs this morning were about trials and tribulations. And we all experience them. We don't like them. That's why they're called trials. If we liked them, they'd be called vacation or pleasure or fun or something else. But we all experience them, and they range in intensity from each of us and from day to day. Some of our trials are just small in intensity. You know, it's just for a few seconds when the jerk driver in front of us does something stupid. And others are very long in intensity and very strong in intensity to, the death of a family member. They range also in duration. It could just be a minute-long problem to others to a lifetime of physical pain. They range in complexity. Some we easily know why we're encountering. We did something stupid and this is what happened. And others, though, just leave us completely perplexed. We have no idea what hit us, why it hit us. And they also range in seeming fairness. Some trials just seem completely unfair. You read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 12, and the apostle James was arrested and then martyred. And no doubt the church was praying for him for his deliverance, but he died. And then Peter was similarly rescued. The church prayed for him, and he got out. What's Peter's wife going to say to James' widow? I mean, where's the sense of fairness sometimes in our trials? Today I'm going to talk about suffering, trials, and tribulations. Just some simple lessons that my wife and I have been learning this past year. And this is not going to be a full treatise on suffering. I don't think there's enough Sundays in the year to cover this whole topic adequately. And it would take dozens of sermons and books and a lifetime of studying the Scriptures and the Lord to get a fuller understanding of this. And so I just want you to view this morning as just my meditations, my own musings on our story. And I don't want my story to be your story. You've got your own story. One of the big things I want you to walk away with this morning is whatever you're going through, God wants you to learn some things that someday, whether you're up here or with another friend, you could share your stories. So I'm not trying to one-up anyone this morning. It's not my point. In fact, some of you have suffered way more than we have. That's not the point. The point is God is ministering to us, like John was sharing about that one song. We thank you for the trials, for the fire, for the pain. That's the place where we want to go. So let's pray here as we dive into a very difficult and yet exciting topic. Let's pray. Lord, that song, it is hard to sing, like John mentioned, to thank you for challenges. But we're not just thanking you for the challenge themselves, we're thanking you for you behind it, for your work and your protection and your guidance and your fatherliness, our great and good Heavenly Father who's watching out for us. That's how we thank you. And Lord, would you take each one of us to a deeper place in our own trials? We've each got our own stories. Take us nearer to you, deeper with you. Not just today, but in the days and the weeks and the years ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in case you don't know, this past year or so, my wife has faced some significant debilitating health issues, and the short description is it's a neuropathy from her diabetes. And it's been a long and debilitating one, a lot of pain, a lot of weakness, sleeplessness, a lot of difficulties, and it's radically changed our home life. And so again, I don't want to give the impression that our trial is worse than any of yours, and I'll talk about that more later, that each of us have our own trials to bear. You need to understand that, and we'll get into that more. But the Lord permits and sometimes even causes trials in our lives. And that's a profound thought there. And when he does, he desires to do a couple of things. One is that we persevere in them. John up here read James 1. He talks about perseverance there. And second, he wants us to learn valuable heart lessons about who God is, about our relationship with God, walking in faith in the journey of life in the pain. God has a purpose in our trials, even when and often we don't understand why. We all have to learn from our trials, learning about Him. And none of us has ever finished having our faith tested and grown and processed and having us draw near. We're never done with this job on this earth. A powerful quote that I read out of a book, my wife and I have been reading out of a book on suffering. And this lady, Margaret Clarkson, says this: "There are no graduates in the school of human pain." I like that. There are no graduates. Sometimes we wish, can I just graduate and move on to a pain-free life? As long as we must live hedged-in lives, that is, lives that are kind of surrounded, hedged in by problems, by difficulties, we will be prone to fluctuation in our faith and our ability to endure. All too often, we will be faced with the necessity of relearning faith's lessons and of remaking our commitments and renewing our vows. Truths of Scripture that we thought we knew, not only by heart, but by experience, will have to be reapplied to our souls to meet our daily need. We're in school. You might have graduated a long time ago, but you're in school. God is teaching and training us. And sometimes we kick and scream and fight. We don't like the lessons. We don't want the tests. We want to graduate, but God has us here. And trials come along and we learn and relearn and go deeper than we ever thought possible. And then sometimes we realize, maybe I didn't know this as well as I thought. And that can be painful. So again, this morning, we're just going to share some of our simple stories. We're not done learning. There's more to go. And when this trial's over, something else will come up. We know that. But let me just share four lessons this morning that I've been learning, and Annette's going to come up here in a minute and share some things she's been learning. First lesson I've been learning is that we should accept good and adversity from God. We should be willing to receive and accept good and adversity from God. We think God should give us only good things, only easy things, only pleasant things, but God also puts us through adversity. In one of the greatest biblical stories of suffering, Job's wife, after astonishing suffering, I mean, our suffering is pales in comparison to Job. But after all of this suffering, after he lost everything in his life, and his wife told him, just curse God and die. In one of the greatest displays of faith in the Scriptures, Job told her this: "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Job understood God will give us trouble at times. Now, sometimes we bring on our own trouble. I'm not saying everything is perfect. Sometimes people sin against us. The sin is not God's will. But for our lives, they're never outside of the will of God. Even the Lord Jesus, who endured far worse suffering than we can ever imagine, it was in the complete and perfect will of God. We need to accept good and adversity from God. And I expect trials and problems in my life. I don't like them, but I'm usually not surprised. Why? Because our world is fallen, it's under a curse, and it's been this way since Genesis chapter 3. When mankind sinned, God put a curse on man and on the woman and on this world, and the world has never been the same since. And problems have beset us. Now, every day is not horrible, and I'm not going that way, but the focus this morning is on our trials, so we'll talk about our good days on other days. But it's part of the story. It's part of the gospel story. And for those who have believed in Jesus Christ, the next world will be pain-free. The next world will be glorious because of the work of Jesus. But for now, it is not pain-free. This world does not hold the promise of being pain-free. It does not. It does not hold that promise. Why are we so surprised when trials come our way? Now, we may still wonder at times, why me? Why this? And it's okay to ask the Lord why. When we accept these trials, it doesn't mean that we can't ask, and it doesn't mean we can't try to get out of the trials under faith and with reasonable approaches. Just like we're trying to get out of physical pain by going to doctors and taking medicines. That's not my point. My point is, it's okay to, in this accepting of the good and adversity, it's okay to ask why. You read the Psalms and you see how often the psalmist would cry out, Lord, why? Where are you? But you see, the psalmist took it to God. His complaint went upward. And all the while, though, there's a movement in our hearts that God would call us towards an acceptance and a contentment towards our adversity. And most days, I would say, not every day, most days the Lord has given me a contentment in this trial we're enduring. One reason why we can find an acceptance and a peace in the midst of our tragedies, of our difficulties, is because the Lord loves to turn tragedies into triumph. He loves to take bad things, even dark things, even evil things that happen in our lives and turn them on their head and bring good out of them. If you don't believe God is powerful, you won't walk in faith like that. I would not want to go through this trial that we're enduring. I would not want to go through it again, but I also wouldn't trade it for anything because of what God is teaching us. So why don't I bring my dear wife up now, and we'll get her side of the story. You'll find out the real story. It's only every once in a while I get to hold the hands of someone who's going to give a testimony up here, so that's kind of nice. Got that? Got it? Well, why don't you relate to us some of what you've been encountering this last year and one of the biggest lessons you've been learning out of all this?
Well, it's been almost 18 months. And I'm ready for it to be done. But I've been praying that I wouldn't waste this trial. You know, God has allowed this in my life, and he's allowed me to be very needy, and I don't want to get to the end of it and not have learned what God wants me to learn. So my prayer has been that I wouldn't waste this trial. And probably the most challenging thing for me is the lack of sleep. Last night it was 2 o'clock before I could go to sleep. And most nights I don't sleep. I might get one night of sleep in bed all night a week. And I just can't function very well. At least most of you who talk to me in those days wonder, who is this woman? You know, because the lack of sleep, I just can't think clearly. And I'm exhausted by 7 o'clock at night. I say, can I go to bed, Brad? And some nights I am in bed by 8 o'clock. I don't go to sleep, but I am in bed. And the other thing about it is that I have quite a bit of pain in my legs. And it's getting better, but and weakness. I haven't fallen in a while, so that's a huge blessing. I'm grateful for that. But it's been very humbling for me to be so needy. I'm a hair on fire, get it done kind of girl, and Elaine knows that. and I just can't. I've just been extremely needy. I haven't driven since October because my depth perception and my vision has been affected by this neuropathy that I have. And so I don't go anywhere unless somebody takes me. And thank you for many of you who have been my taxis. You know, I'll say, hey, I need to go to physical therapy or I need to do this or that. And you graciously come and pick me up. And my husband has learned that he can work in any space in the world. I mean, in the basement of McFarland Clinic at the physical therapy, he's studying or working while he's waiting for me, or he's been able to work at home, which I'm grateful for because I've needed him at home. And so that's been really good. that there's one thing that I have to tell you guys. Okay, I was thinking I'd be 80 years old instead of in my 50s when I needed help with my toenails. But my sweet husband clipped my toenails because my balance and my sight was so bad I couldn't do it.
I almost died, by the way.
But that is love. And it's just been so encouraging to me to see that Brad would lay down his life like that for me. And he's done many things. And it's been a huge blessing. And I'm grateful I don't need the wheelchair to come to church anymore. My walking is balance is better, and so I'm grateful for that. Only if I have to do a lot of walking do I need the wheelchair. But Brad, I never knew that his training that his mother gave him, mothers train your sons, he can cook, he can do laundry, he can shop with a list, and we've learned to draw out the food aisles at Fairway so he knows where things are, where to find things. So it's an engineer's dream. If you men need to know where...
You ladies need any help organizing Fairway, just let me know.
So, and honestly, we couldn't have survived without the meals that you guys have provided. At first, I didn't think we needed them, but we have. And in almost 29 years of marriage, I've hardly ever burnt dinner. But in the last 2 weeks, as I've been trying to do more cooking and thinking about cooking, I've burnt more food than I have. I mean, burnt beyond eating, kind of burning. So anyway, and probably the other thing that's been super humbling about this is that I wonder if I could have avoided some of this trial had I not been fighting God about my diabetes and accepting it. And that's been very humbling because I've really suffered as a result of just not wanting to do what I needed to do with managing my diabetes. And I'm doing great with it now, and God's given us a lot of grace. But it was really hard when I realized that some of the neuropathy that I have, the weakness, was brought on by my choice.
Just tell us about, we've talked about being brokenhearted. Would you tell us about that, that verse you've got there?
Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And I've really had to fight that I'm missing out on life, that life is happening all around me, because I am home, you guys. I am in my house with my four walls, and I'm home. I don't go anywhere other than to physical therapy or doctor's appointments unless Brad or somebody else takes me. And it's easy to feel like I'm missing out on life. And several of you have come to my house and had coffee with me and hung out with me, and that's been very encouraging to me. But and like I said, I'm doing okay with cooking and, you know, things that the home that I just never even thought about now are, you know, just things that I revel. Ooh, maybe I can make this for dinner or for Valentine's Day. There's a dessert that Brad really likes. It's called a Scandinavian pastry. Some of the rockers lovingly call it Barrett crack because it's such an addicting type of pastry. That anyway, but while Brad was gone on Valentine's Day, I thought, I'm going to get this made, and I did, and I was so thankful. It was a huge accomplishment, but the not driving has been hard, and then I don't go to the basement of our house because the stairs are just too much for me. If I do stairs up and down, I'm miserable for the rest of the day. It's getting better, but anyway.
When we talk about accepting this, kind of like what I was just talking about a minute ago, about accepting this trial.
Okay. I've had to work really hard on accepting that this is good. You know, it's part of God's plan because it's taken me out of many of the things that I really enjoy doing, like serving with some of the young families or being able to meet with people and things. That's been very difficult. It's like, how can this be God's will? And it's taken Brad out of some things, although he's been able to do most all of his work. But anyway, it seems to me that God's will would look different and like full of life, of energy and activity, but that really hasn't been his plan for these 18 months, you guys. And I've had seasons. There was a time when it was a little better, and there was a time that it was a little worse. So I'm working really hard at being content. I can't escape this trial, so I've got to figure out how to be content and have joy. And God knows about me. My pain hasn't gone unnoticed. He knows that this is hard for me, and I try to pour out my heart to the Lord regularly about how I'm feeling and, you know, and everything. And there's been a hymn that came that I read in one of my reading that's been a real comfort to me. It's an old hymn. It says, "Whatever my God ordains is right. Here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow or need or death be mine, yet I am not forsaken. My Father's care circles me there. He holds me, shall I shall not fall, and so to him I leave it all." And I can't do a thing about this trial other than just try to rest that God has me exactly where I want and has allowed the amount of activity that I can do. And I miss playing with my granddaughter. I can't pick her up anymore and carry her. And she'll say, "Marmy," that's what she calls me, "hold you." That's what she wants me to hold her. And I'll say, "I have to sit down, Mira." And so she points to the chair and I go sit down and then I'm able to read her a book. But even the simplest thing, I just can't physically do. And it's been very sad for me. But again, God has ordained this trial for me or this difficulty, and he's going to give me grace to get through it. And so I just have to try to rest or camp there. So, and probably the biggest thing is that I've asked the Lord to help me to be cheerful through the trial and not be a whiner or a complainer. And because I just felt like if I walk downtrodden and with my countenance fallen all the time, how does that honor God? You know, not that we can't be discouraged if something is difficult. And I do have my days where I just feel like, oh, I can't endure another day. But my physical therapist asked me this last week, she said, "Annette, how you have been so cheerful through all," because she's seen me through this whole period of time. And I just tell her, well, it's the Lord. He's helping me to cope with, you know, all the difficulties, you know, because I'll think, okay, we're making progress, good. And then there's something new that pops up or a new weakness or a new something. And I think, okay, when is the end of this going to be? But anyway, I've just asked the Lord to help me to be cheerful and so that I could honor him just with my life. You know, even though I physically can't do some things, I can with my countenance or my my countenance or my attitude, I can honor God that way. And so that's what I've been hoping to do. Amen. So, and I just don't want to waste this time, you know, because God has specifically allowed it. And it's a ongoing thing. When we went to the neurologist up at the Mayo Clinic, he said, "Well, the good news is, Annette, that you will recover from this. The bad news is it may take 9 months." And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it's been a year, 9 more months of this, you know. And so in some ways that was discouraging. But I thought, well, this is what God has allowed. So somehow he's going to help me to get through it.
Amen. Would you guys pray with me for my wife? Lord, thank you so much for your power in my dear wife's life. She's been an example to me of someone who endures with joy. And I just pray that you'd bring another blessing, more blessing on her. So many have been praying for us, and that's probably the only reason we haven't gone absolutely insane. But thank you for this body here who supported us so well. Thank you for the work that your Spirit is doing in her life. And we ask you to continue to do that good work, that all of us, Lord, would take these kinds of lessons, whatever lessons you want us to learn, but we wouldn't waste our trials. We wouldn't let them slip by without gaining from you and learning from you those deep lessons about who you are and your work in this world. And so bless her, bless us, Lord, as we are in this journey together of suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the first, as I mentioned, the first lesson that I've been learning ties in with what Annette just talked about of accepting good and trouble from God. And the second lesson I want to hit is be wise when we compare our trials to one another. Be wise when we compare. Some comparison can be helpful, you know, to see someone else who's suffering more than us, and we can learn and be inspired. So that's a positive side. We can learn from people's faith and their courage and their joy. And in comparing ourselves, the Lord Jesus is our ultimate example of suffering. Hebrews 12, verse 3 says, consider him. So we should ponder, we should meditate on Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Consider what Jesus endured, the injustice, the pain, the taking of the world's shame, sin and shame, your sin and shame, on his own back, how he endured it all. And when you consider him, you won't grow weary or faint-hearted in your own suffering. Because there's no human being who's ever lived who suffered more intensely, more unjustly than the Lord Jesus. For God to lower himself down to our level is, in its sense, horrific suffering. For God to become man, that's suffering unto itself. And then for him to endure all that shame and the injustice, and to be forsaken by the Father. And so we consider Jesus. We can compare our trials to Jesus, and that's healthy, and that's holy. And he knows what you're enduring, because he's been through more than you have, even if you don't agree, even if you don't think that way. But we also find help by looking to the suffering of others like us. 1 Peter 5, verse 9 says, resist him, that is, resist the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. There is encouragement and comfort to know, hey, I'm not in my suffering alone. Other people, maybe it's not exactly like what I'm enduring, but they've been through stuff. They made it through. I can do it. There's encouragement. There's comfort in that. We see their faith. We see their love, their peace. And we realize, hey, if they can make it by God's strength, maybe I can make it. So there's a good side to comparison. But there's a bad side that I would issue a couple of cautions on. One is, if someone's trials are more severe than yours, it can be tempting to feel guilty because your trial hurts. That's not the point. Again, your trial is your trial. Their trial is theirs. We don't need to walk around thinking, man, you go through so much more, and my trial, which is a lot less, still hurts, and it's hard, and I feel guilty because it's hard. No, it's okay. It's hard. It's a trial. So don't go too far in that comparison. God has a purpose in your trial. Another caution is, if someone else's trials are less severe than ours, we're going through something incredibly hard, and honestly, some of your friend's trial is not as much as yours, it's easy to become discouraged or even angry, maybe bitter against God. And we can think, why me? Why do they get it easier? Why do I have it harder? God has a purpose in your trials. Everything he's designing uniquely and carefully and wisely and lovingly for us. And why did Job go through what he did? And I've never gone through anything like that. We don't know. In the end, God will work it all out. And a third caution here is, if someone else's trials are less severe, we might be tempted to even be arrogant and even look down on them. Someone else shares their burdens with us and it's way less than what we're enduring, and we just scoff at them and we just say, that trial's stupid. You're not going through anything. Look at what I'm going through. Again, we go back to, if God is ordaining and working and watching out for our lives, each one of us has been assigned something in life, and it's not ours to condemn someone else just because God has a different plan for them. We should have compassion and understanding, not arrogance. God is a good father. And so be wise when we're comparing trials. The best comparison of all is to look to Jesus and what he endured, so that you won't grow faint-hearted. The third lesson I've been learning is to seek perseverance and joy. Annette talked about this. My consistent prayer has been for those two things. People have often asked me, what can we pray for? I say, well, obviously pray for better health, but beyond that, pray for perseverance, that we would keep going, we wouldn't quit, we wouldn't give up on God, we wouldn't turn our backs on God, we wouldn't grow bitter, and second, that we would have joy. I don't just want to get through a trial gritting my teeth. I want to be cheerful about it. I want to have a measure of joy. Colossians 1, verse 11 and 12, Paul prays this very thing for the church in Colossae, and he says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. What's the power? What's the strength from heaven for? It's for all endurance and patience with joy. You and I need the power from heaven to get through our trials with a smile on our faces. You cannot do this on your own. This is where we have to get desperate for God, and we call on him like Paul is here. And we pray for one another. Paul prays this for other people. Paul's not just praying, Lord, get them out of their trials. That's okay if you pray that. But sometimes we just end there. We just figure, well, if the trial's going on, then God hasn't heard, and life really sucks until the trial ends. No, God wants joy in the trials, but it's going to take power from God for you to do that. And you need to pray for one another in this arena. A couple of months ago, someone told me that they had been praying for us, for which I was very, very grateful, and I still appreciate that. But when I told her that our health, Annette's health, was not any better, in fact, it had actually gotten worse over that few weeks, she was a little discouraged. And I said, no, don't be discouraged. Now, God, yes, I'm still waiting for God to improve her health. That's what we all want. But God is at work in our lives. He's answering prayers. At least I hope you're praying for perseverance and joy. God is at work in us, even though the health, the trial has not changed. And my wife has been, as she alluded to, she's been a tremendous example to me of joy in a trial. And she'll be quick to admit she hasn't done this perfectly, but in my opinion, she's just a constant rebuke to my life. Because I'll have littler things come up that I'm mumbling and grumbling about, and I think, okay, yeah, I can have joy. And so I want to say something without diminishing any of our pain, without trying to belittle any of our pain. I believe the Lord would call us to a greater joy and lesser whining in our trials. I'm not with all of you very much. I'm with you maybe a few minutes of the week, few minutes of the year. So I don't really know, but I suspect if you're like me, you spend an awful lot of time grumbling and complaining about your trials. About the weather, about poor sleep, about finances, about your roommate or your spouse, about your boss, a professor, your government, or whatever. We are very creative on our complaining. God calls us to something greater than this. He calls for power from heaven to give you endurance and patience with joy, always giving thanks to the Father. This is eternal stuff. This is otherworldly stuff. I don't say this lightly. You need the power of God to live this way. But this is the godly life. Anything short of this, we are absolutely missing out on what God has for us. But when we live this way, the world notices. And that's physical therapist notices her joy. We have faith in the work of Jesus Christ, that through his life, his death, his resurrection, that God's goodness and his power are evident and are permanent for our lives. We have faith in God's ability and willingness to maneuver and work all things together for good, to turn tragedies upside down and turn them into triumph. We have to have faith in God that he can do these things. So we're not done persevering in our trials and having joy, so continue to pray for us and pray this for one another. Don't just end with praying that we'd get out of our trials. Go beyond that to some glorious things. The fourth lesson I want to share, and the last one, is that we are not designed to suffer alone. Now, some of you have gotten this years ago. I feel like I'm just now getting this. So some of you are going to go, wow, about time. It's in sinking in really powerful ways that we are just not meant to go through our pain and our difficulties alone. It sounds obvious, but too often we are alone, sometimes by our own choosing. Our memory verse for today is Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. Help them carry their load, their burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think in part, at least, the law of Christ is the law of love. You fulfill Christ's law of love by helping one another carry their load. By implication, you are not designed to carry your load by yourself. Now, usually we can't literally take away someone's pain. I've told my wife many times, and with tears, I wish I could take your pain on myself. But I can't. But I've told her over and over again, I'm here for you. I'll bet I've told her 100 times literally in the last year, I'm here for you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm here. We'll do what we can together. We'll get through this together. We can't take it away, but we can help shoulder it. We're not just to stand off at a distance with our arms crossed and just look at someone, observe, wow, that's fascinating how they're suffering, or criticize them for how they're enduring their pain. No, we are to join in and bear their loads. And many of you are outstanding examples of this. Recently, a family here at Stonebrook had a medical crisis, and I just watched, literally within hours of the crisis, I watched as, I think there were 6 or 8 people, I'd have to go back and count, that were immediately involved with the family, helping them. Childcare, food, laundry, support, prayer. I wasn't surprised, but I was just so honored to know these people. That's the kind of people that many of you have been to us and to one another. And I so thank God for that. This is the calling of God, to bear one another's burdens. Some of our burdens are physical, some are more internal, you know, kind of soul-type burdens, mental, emotional-type burdens. In either case, God calls us to be there for one another. Romans 12:15, that was a big, kind of the theme of our marriage conference that we had 2 months ago. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. There's an expression that maybe it came from this verse. Someone once said, a joy shared is doubled, and a sorrow shared is cut in half. There's something so powerful about us living life together that if I have a joy and I can share it with you, it's more joyful for me. But if I'm going through a pain and I share it with you and you help me carry that load, it does cut the burden. It cuts it in half. You know, it's interesting. The Lord tells His people throughout the Scriptures from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, He tells His people, I'm with you. I'm with you. In whatever circumstance, they might have been facing an army that was ready to attack them and kill them. They might have been facing a huge command that was really beyond their capabilities, like the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. He concludes that by saying, and surely I am with you always. God tells us that over and over again. He is near, and through the power and the presence of His Spirit, He is near to us. And so He calls us to be that way to one another. Now, granted, we can't be with one another like 24/7, like the Lord is always with us, but that's our calling, that's our pursuit. And all this comes to me as a very deep lesson, because I think by nature I'm a very independent person. You know, if you've ever been around a four-year-old and they're trying to tie their shoes and they're very frustrated because they can't get it done, what do you want to do? You want to jump in and help them. And what do they say? I'll do it myself. That's kind of the way I view things. And even if it's not even a hard thing, I just tend to be very independent. I'll do my thing, you do your thing, and it'll all work out in the end. That's not the biblical way. This really came to a head for me Back in October, November, December, you guys, many of you have been asking, hey, what can we do? How can we pray? Can we serve? Can we bring meals? And I pretty consistently kept refusing most of it. And I said, no, we're fine. And I really was fine. I wasn't burdened by, you know, trying to get meals and run into the store. It really wasn't, I didn't feel weighed down. We're empty nesters. If I had four little kids at home, that would have been a lot different. But I didn't feel weighed down. I felt very supported, very loved by all of you. So I kept consistently turning you all down. And then one December Sunday morning, right here, no less than six people, I lost count. Six people came up to me and said, can we bring you a meal? Can we do something? And six times I said, no, we're fine. And then I get home and I'm kind of standing there. And I said to Annette, I wonder if the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me something. So we talked and we agreed. And we called up a lady in the church who had offered. And we said, hey, can you set up some meals for us? And she said, absolutely. I can't tell you, it was at that moment I instantly felt comforted and supported and relieved. And I was surprised because I didn't feel uncomforted. I didn't feel unsupported. But God came in through all of you and met and carried some of our burdens. And it was a relief. It's been a powerful experience for me. And in turn, fortunately for all of you, I'm getting a little more sensitive to supporting you and your burdens. Hasn't been my greatest forte. God's calling us to bear one another's burdens. Now, a caution here. My goal is not to give you ammunition to go and blast someone else because they haven't been bearing your burdens. That's not where we want to go. If indeed others haven't been there for you, go to Christ first. Tell them your heartache. Tell them your, because that is a burden. If we're all alone, that in itself is a burden. Go to Christ first. Talk to him. Pour out your heart, your complaint to him. And then if you need to have a cordial, humble, loving conversation with someone else to encourage them or help them know how they can help you, do that. But don't go blast someone because of what I just shared. Ultimately, the Lord is watching out for you. And even someone's neglect is a trial that is not outside of his realm. Now, I want to look at this theme of bearing one another's burdens in another way, on the other side of this. Not only do we need to bear one another's burdens, we need to let others bear ours. And I would bet this gets harder for most of us. I don't know, maybe 90% of us, we don't like asking for help. And when we deny others, like I was doing until December, when we deny others the opportunity, we are denying them an opportunity to obey God. Galatians 6:2. You are denying them an opportunity to bear your burdens. They've been commanded by God to do it. And when we persistently, consistently say no, or don't even mention our needs, we miss out and they miss out. This is hard for many of us to let others help. It's humbling, like my wife was saying. It's very humbling to have to admit you need help. This quote here is fantastic. It's a book on Christian leadership. The author said this, Bishop Westcott, I don't know who he was, admitted at the end of his life to one great mistake. He had always helped others, but just as rigorously, he had resisted others serving him. As a result, his life had an empty spot where sweet friendship and human care might have been. Whoever this brother is, he got to the end of his life and he realized, I have had a great mistake. I have served others, but I have stubbornly resisted letting others help me, and I missed out. I missed out on sweet friendships and human care. So whether it's your pain or it is someone else's, we need to live this out to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God has not made us to walk through suffering alone. Well, as I mentioned at the outset, this is not a full treatise on suffering. It would take way too many Sundays. I'd just offer up my little tidbits to spark a thirst and a hunger in you to make sure you're learning lessons. You're going after God. You're calling on the Lord in your pain, in your difficulties. That we wouldn't waste our trials, like Annette said. We wouldn't let them slip by and miss the very intimate moments we could have with God. The intimate, deep, personal lessons we could learn from our Heavenly Father. We learn to seek Him in prayer. We learn to seek Him together. We learn to seek Him in the Scriptures. I mean, this book, if you want to read a good book on suffering, this is the best one you'll ever find. There are other good ones out there, and I could recommend them to you, but this is the best one. About a month ago, I read these verses, and Annette and I posted them on our walls, and they were tremendously meaningful for us. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. I mean, you know, if the Lord hadn't helped us, we just felt like we would have died all alone, just in a land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. Sometimes we feel like, oh no, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I'm going to go over the cliff. No, His steadfast love, His unfailing love holds us there. May we seek His face, His comfort, His protection, His power, and His wisdom in our trials. Let's pray together. Lord, You are so tender towards us. Even in the worst imaginable suffering, like Your Son endured, like Job endured, like Joseph in Genesis endured, even in the worst of suffering, You're so tender. Open our hearts, open our eyes to see Your tender love and Your great power to work all things together for our good and Your glory and great reward in heaven. And may the cross be the anchor of our confidence, our strength in who You are, as we see that if You didn't spare Your own Son, surely You will give us everything else we need in life. Bless us with that kind of deep, rich heart knowledge and faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.